Hey guys, this is Hannah from Booming from X to Z, and this following podcast was recorded quite a while ago and is a really casual, informal, fun conversation I had with my mother and my grandmother about the role of women in the workplace, inside and outside of the household. And so please have some consideration because it is a very casual conversation. Have fun. Thank you. Hey everybody, this is Hannah from Booming from X to Z, where we talk about different issues with a representative of sorts from each generation. Today, we're going to be talking about roles for women, a little bit bitter look into the roles for women in the workplace and such. And today, to start us off, we have my mother, Stephanie Smallhouse, and my grandmother, who I call Grandma G, but everybody else can call her Gilda. And so, thank you guys for being here. I'm going to talk about a few questions. I'm going to start out with the question of what are your guys' perspectives on the role women should play in the household as a mother and wife, and then within the workplace as an employee or employer. So, Mom, if you want to go first.
Well, I'm glad you asked such an easy question. Not. Can I hear it again? Can you break it into two parts? Because I'm old and it takes me a while.
Okay, so the first part is, from your perspective, what role should you play? Of course, saying should would be a little bit of a hot button, but should play in the household as a mother and wife?
Well, I don't think anybody can tell you what you should do or what you shall do as a wife or a mother. It's sort of up to you and your family and the dynamics of your family and personal choices. So I think that anyone that sort of has this idea that a woman should be something in particular, I don't think that's right. I think it's up to your own personal family choices. So.
And so would you say that can kind of be similarly translated to the woman's role in a workplace as an employer and employee?
Yeah, I mean, everybody has to make personal choices. And I think that some women want to be leaders and some women want to be more on the team in terms of kind of helping to get things done, but not necessarily be out front. And you need all sorts of people to make things work, whether that's in a business or an organization. And some women feel more comfortable in certain roles than others. And so it's up to them as an individual to decide where they want to thrive and what they want to accomplish, or even if they want to work at all. So,
yeah. And what do you think?
I think I agree with everything that your mother said. You know, it's a personal choice. I think that what's expected of women is based on what generations before us did. And I think that generations before us, life was simpler. So the expectations for women weren't as high for themselves. Not only, you know, by others, but for themselves. They figured that they had a role to play. And that's what they stayed in that particular role that they were expected to play, whether it was, and back then, it would have been strictly, you know, being a mother, being a wife. And as our generations changed and women realized that they could be more to their lives, then they ventured out, which I think was very courageous of them.
Yeah, I think for my generation, we've become a little bit, I mean, we still have a little bit of a struggle because I was talking to Dad about this actually the other day, that there is still a slight inequalities in certain parts of the workplace and even at home, even though my generation, I think, has become slightly complacent about the fact that, you know, us women can have an education and we can actually use that in the workplace. And we have a little bit of an easier time having a work-life balance and kind of being a wife, mother, and also being an employee or employee. And so I think looking back at, like, your guys' generations, especially you, Grandma, like, having to struggle through that and really admiring, okay, like, all of the work that people have done before us and how unequal it was for you when you were doing the same thing that I am doing. So I think that's something that we have to really focus on as a generation and learn to appreciate again. I get asked, especially being in the ag community a lot, like, that's a big hot ticket item. I think, Mom, you would agree that sometimes it's brought up because a lot of women choose to stay at home in the ag community. And they ask if they think that's outdated. And, I mean, personally, I think that it's your choice, like you guys said. I mean, I think...
Yeah, but I don't think that's true for today's agriculture. I think that people have that idea because they see agriculture in such an old way. But, I mean, there's very few... I interact with a lot of different families in agriculture, and there's very few families where the woman matriarchal figure in the family, whether that's the mom, the wife, whatever, doesn't have an off-farm job, number one, that helps contribute to the income of the family, or isn't actively working on the farm, playing a role. There are lots of jobs to play in agriculture, and women do all of those jobs. And so I think that, today that's even a misconception about even in agriculture. So,
yeah. Yeah. All I was trying to say is, like, I think that that's, at the end of the day, it's the choice. And unfortunately, I think if you decide to play a role, no matter what industry, if you decide to play the role of being only a mother and wife, like, and staying at home and supporting your family from home, I don't think that that should be a shame. I think that a lot of people in my generation I've spoken to are like, why would you, like, initially waste an opportunity? But I don't think it's wasting an opportunity. So I think that I was just bringing up that point because I think it's so interesting how we've completely flipped the expectations almost in my generation. And speaking about that, Grandma, do you think that, like, future past generations have dealt, or, like, are currently, like, my generation or millennials are defining roles in a better or worse way?
Well, I think you're defining them better, in a sense. And I'm not even sure that it's better. I think you're just more outspoken about it. You know, you feel that you have you're as qualified to do the jobs that men do, and in a lot of cases, you know, women can. But I think there's still, I think for women, I think that sometimes we have a hard time accepting the fact that there are some things that men can do better than women, you know, strength wise and
right.
stuff. But as I, you know, with your mom being in, you know, in agriculture, I think the idea of the woman being at home is probably more prevalent, I think, only because it's the basis of how we, you know, how our nation is supplied with food. You know, it's a very basic thing, I think. And so it's very important for the wife to be at home supporting the husband, because there is so many facets to yeah. being a farmer rancher.
And it's so stressful for
yes
for the man.
There's a lot of responsibility there, and I think that for that reason, I think that women have a tendency to probably be more focused on staying home. I mean, they still do a lot to contribute towards, you know, the business, but I think they have a tendency to feel like they need to contribute a lot at home.
Yeah, kind of a guilt that's still there.
Yeah, so they won't venture out as much. I mean, you know, your mother is, you know, kind of different in that sense. She's always been very driven. So I think that has a lot to do with it.
I don't think it's just a feeling of the fact that when your livelihood is a farm and a ranch, you're existing inside of what you do for a living. And so you're so much more tied to the everyday operations and emotions and activities of that livelihood that it feels like it's more critical for you to be on the premises, because it is a highly stressful, you know, it's highly stressful life in a sense. And so I think it's just that a lot of women feel that, you know, that it's important to be an integral part of that, because it's your life in total. It's not just you go to work and come home. It is your home. It's your work. Yeah. It's your home. It's your everything. It's the way you raise your kids. It's it's everything.
And so, your employees a lot of times are your family.
Yeah.
So it's, there's no real line between work life sometimes.
And you live with, you live on the same property many times as the families that work for you. And so it's just a totally different, a different dynamic. But I think, you know, to your question about your generation and how you kind of interpret things, to me, it's sort of interesting. The observation that I've made, which could be totally off, is that, and I don't know if we mentioned this in the beginning, but, you know, your Grandma G is like a boomer, right?
Right, right.
And I'm the Gen Xer, and you're the
Gen Z.
And I think that, you know, Grandma G, like she said before, there was only one kind of way that her generation knew from, you know, a long time before that, you know, established roles and the way things were done. And then I think that my generation was the first generation that transitioned away from that. My generation was the first generation where women were told, you can have it all. You can do it all. If you want to do something, you can do it. And you can do all of those things. And so I think that a lot of pressure really was put first on my generation to not only recognize all of the things that you could accomplish, but then go out and accomplish those things. Like, there really wasn't anything holding you back. It was just, you were the only one holding you back. You should be able to do all of those things. And I think that that's sort of boomeranging now. You know, I think through the millennial generation and now to your generation, it's transitioning maybe, and it's swinging back a little bit, because I think that now, you know, we have a generation that has grown up with their moms trying to do it all. And you can see what that's like for your mom to try and do it all. And I think your generation is kind of swinging it back a little bit to say, but why do we have to do it all? What if I don't want to do it all? What if I want to raise my kids and, you know, be at home? I think that's very valuable. Or what if I don't want to have kids? What if I just want to work? What if I don't want to have a family and work and I just want to work? And so I think your generation is more transitioning into, no, we don't have to do it all. We can pick what we want to do and then do that. And so I don't know, I've sort of observed that, I think, with...
I mean, I think it's a big transition. I think women in my generation are very stressed. I feel like we kind of feel a lot of pressure because part of us sees our mothers trying to do that, like you were saying, and want to pick. But then the other side is a little bit of guilt because we look at our grandmothers and how much they struggled to get us to where we're at. You know what I mean? And so it's kind of like part of us is like, okay, we're being offered this opportunity from birth that no generation before us has had fully. And so it's like, okay, we see our mothers struggling, and part of us, some of us are like, oh, well, we kind of just feel like we want, you know, we care a lot about family. To us, what matters is at the end of my life, I want to know that I raised my children exactly how I wanted them. And I want to know that I had the happiest marriage. And I mean, you can do that working too, but if that's what you just really want to focus on. But then there's the side of us at the back of our mind that says, you know, that's ingrained into us by, you know, when we're taught history and everything else and feminism and how rampant it is like, no, you're given an opportunity nobody else has been given. Why would you throw that away? And so I think a lot of people feel like they're throwing it away. And then there's the other side where it's like, you know what? I really want to take this opportunity. For instance, I'm a very driven person. And I know that at least right now, I would put a relationship on hold for my career, for success. And I think that there's another side of the generation on the other, complete other side of the spectrum that's like, especially coming from agriculture where family is so important and family is so incorporated in your life all the time. And it's like, you know what? I really value family. And it's a struggle because I know that I care so much about getting to a CEO spot, getting to it, being an ambassador, getting to a top spot. But I think at the end of the day, I might have to sacrifice having a family or being married just because I can't fit them both. And so I think my generation is really the first generation where women have such a broad set of choices that it's actually more difficult to choose.
Maybe, yeah.
Because we're not being told what's right. We're asking ourselves what is right. And everybody is in a woke age where it's like, nothing. You can pick anything and you're right. If you want to be a housewife, you want to be a housewife. If you don't want to get married, you don't want to get married, that's fine. Nobody's telling us what you should do, which is actually, I think, I mean, I've talked to so many people in my generation, especially in college right now, that are struggling with that.
I think we should do away with the term housewife. I don't think it properly encapsulates the job of the home CEO, which I think it should be, because of everything that's, you know, I often go through my day and think about the fact that the absolute hardest thing in my life is raising my kids. It's the hardest job. It is absolutely the hardest job because there's no guidebook for it. Every child is totally different. So what worked on one kid is not going to work on the other kid. Everyone's judging you all the time. Mm-hmm. And you have this immense pressure of the fact that you don't get a second chance. Like, you influence your kids for a certain amount of time, and then that's pretty much it. And so if you choose to do A over B, you'll never know whether B was the better choice for your kids. And it's an immense amount of pressure. So I think, you know, for people to say, oh, well, you know, you're just staying home and raising your kids. Well, you're actually just staying home and doing the hardest job that you could possibly do. So anyway, but I think it's people don't realize just how.
My generation, when I look back at like what your mother is capable of doing and women in her generation are capable of doing, and I stop and think, I'm like, wow, I could have done that. You know, I could have been that, but we were already put in that position of, you know, being a mother, being a wife.
Right. From the beginning.
From the very beginning. Well, for generations.
Yeah.
I mean, you figure that your mom's generation kind of changed that.
Yeah.
You know, part of my generation changed that, but mostly, you know, your mom's generation. And so it was like, we didn't feel like we had a choice. You know, sure, some women stepped out. But there, I think it falls back to the basic of, you know, personalities. Some, you know, some people have stronger personalities. Some people are, you know, stronger willed. Some people are more conforming to what's expected of them. And they don't step outside of that because they don't feel that, you know, it's been ingrained in them that that's all they can do. That's all they can do. That's what they were meant to do. And there again, like I said, it's been taught for generations, and it's hard to break that cycle.
Yeah.
So I stop and think now of all the things that I could have, would have, should have, you know, that I could have done that I don't, you know, that I feel like I kind of missed out.
Yeah. And I think something that is interesting that I learned when you talked about raising your three kids, my uncle, aunt, and my mom, is that, you know, at some point when you and grandpa got a divorce and you were a single mom, you had to work.
Yeah,
like, that wasn't a choice to be a mother and wife. You had to be a mother and an employee. Mm-hmm. You had to. Like, at that point, it was actually no choice in the other direction.
Right.
Yeah. So, I was, like, that's something admirable, but I don't think, you know, we talk about the fact that for some people, it isn't a choice to work. You know, there are single moms out there that have to work, you know, even if it's a struggle to have a balance. I guess on that note is like, do you think that it is a woman's responsibility since she has the natural born gift, I would say, of having kids?
Being a nurturer. I mean, that's in our DNA. I mean, God created us that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, there again, you know, are we stepping out of what we were created to be?
Yeah.
And that's why there's all the turmoil.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, it's difficult, too, because what you were talking about, Mom, is that, you know, you're able to choose if you don't want to have children. But is it a choice? Like, do we have the responsibility to have children since we literally are the gender that can have children?
Well, yeah, it depends on how, like, philosophical you want to get. But we sort of have to, otherwise we don't exist anymore. So, I mean, there's that responsibility.
I mean, there is that responsibility. Some of us have to, actually.
I mean, if we all decide to go on strike, that could be a problem.
But, yeah. I was going to say, talk about responsibility.
Yeah, I don't know. That's sort of a weird question. I mean, we've been given that responsibility, you know, by God, I guess, but I
think it's such a, I was going to say bulbous, but I don't think that's a good adjective to be used for literally anything ever. Why is that?
I don't
an
even know what that means.
Large.
Oh, is that a Gen Z word?
No, it was used in Shakespeare. That's actually where
I
learned.
Okay.
It.
Oh, okay. I mean... Oh, all right. Sorry. Yeah. Shakespeare.
Well, I mean,
my generation didn't read Shakespeare.
Excuse me?
We skipped it.
Yeah. No, I just think it's good to talk about this subject only because, like you were talking about, Grandma, we've had hundreds of years in practice on how the system's supposed to work for patriarchy, right? Like, we know how it's supposed to work if the men are in charge, but now women are being given equal part, and we actually don't know how that works. Like, we are in a new game now.
Well, I sort of feel like it's a little bit chaotic, actually.
It is extraordinarily chaotic, I think.
If you think about, I'm not saying that this, the quote-unquote, the system, you know, or the structure was the best... that, you know, the best that it could have been for, you know, hundreds and even thousands of years, really. But, you know, I guess I'm American centric, so I only think in the past, you know,
100 years.
Yeah, 200 plus years. But, I mean, I think that it's also, society is a little chaotic right now. Like, people, like, because those lines have been blurred in so many ways, it's had unintended consequences. It's great things have happened, but also along with those great things and great opportunities, the blurring of the lines for gender roles and responsibilities, I think, has maybe created a little bit of chaos in some senses. You know, like I said, it's, you know, benefits and costs to everything. And so it'd be interesting, you know, to have kind of a long-term analysis of how those shifts in family and gender roles have impacted other parts of our society. So,
yeah, I just think that it's kind of, I mean, you guys mentioned this a lot with just different personalities matter and it's family to family. I think a lot of it's come down to almost a paint your own class. It went from, okay, this is the exact steps of how you paint a bird, and now it's like, if you want to paint a bird, you can paint a bird. If you don't want to paint a bird, do whatever. And so I think it really has come down to, it depends, right? Mm-hmm. Like, everybody is also so scared to make a generalization, and I don't think generalizations are very good. But I also think, you know, because we've completely eliminated generalizations, it's put the pressure on every individual to decide what they want to do, because it's completely their choice. So... I don't know. But I wanted to talk about actually what we were kind of talking about, which is that actually approximately 52% of, actually 53% of doctorate degrees are being earned by women. And depending on which sector you're looking at for graduates, it ranges from 50 to 57%. Of graduates overall for different degrees are women. So it's actually getting closer to women are having the majority of graduates for education, for secondary education. And so it's really affected our corporate workplace, which I don't know if corporate workplace is ready for that. And so I guess the first question would be is, what issues are facing the workplace generally? Then we can talk about a little bit more keen on certain issues. But what are some issues that are facing the workplace right now because of this huge surge of women in the last 50 years?
Oh, I think people are just having a hard time figuring it out. I mean, I think that's the biggest problem is that, like you said, everybody's so afraid to react. The rules have changed so much that nobody really knows what the rules are. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure in the workplace to not say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing or offend somebody or say something. And, you know, honestly, I think we just forget sometimes that we're all just human and that people say stupid things, whether you're a man or a woman. And we've gotten so focused on everything being a personal attack or being inappropriate. And sometimes it's like you just have to remember that we're just humans and we're just trying to get along with each other. And I think it's created a lot of tension in the workplace because people just don't know, you know, people don't know how to how to work together. They don't know how to coexist in the workplace being equals, I guess. And I don't know.
Yeah. So kind of like intergender communication in that, I mean, we've talked about this pretty recently, is the offhanded comments. And it's like, how far does it have to go before it should be punished? And how far should there, like, how much consequences should there be for an offhanded comment by a man? You know what I mean? I mean, it's kind of an obvious issue that I think all women are facing right now. I think in every industry, it doesn't matter whether you're low on the ladder, high on the ladder, what industry you're in. Sometimes women face, you know, some guys that make an offhanded comment. And so it's kind of hard, I think, like you said, to be like, okay, well, that requires this type of consequence, but should we give a consequence for one comment? Or, you know, it's just, there's a lot of gray area, right? Right? In my friend group considers me a broomer. I think that I can't speak completely for the moderation of my generation, but I think that because both of your generations have grown up kind of, well, yes, being okay with like men's treatment of women in those ways, those offhanded comments and things like that, in the workplace, you're so used to it almost. I think not necessarily that you guys accept it, but you're used to it. I mean, you've been dealing with it, and it's kind of like, well, if we want to work in the workplace, it's just something we deal with, right? And I think my generation has a big problem with that because it's kind of like looking at men and saying, you know what? You know, we've been kind of, I know you guys have been able to say those things for the last 500,000 years. But we're kind of doing things differently now, and I'm in charge of this business. And if you say a comment like that, you're not going to be here anymore because we don't treat women like that here. And you know what? If you want to make a comment about a woman's body part, well, you can make a comment on the street after you've packed up your suitcase and left. And I think that women have kind of taken that take charge. And I mean, we're not accepting it. Like, maybe we've gotten used to it. You know, we've still grown up around you guys working with that, you know, Gen X. And boomers, I mean, obviously you're used to it because you're barely coming out of that mentality. But women are like, well, you know what? We're equals now. And now that we have equal power, we're going to kick you out if you treat us badly.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's not, and I get it. I mean, I agree with you in that we've gotten a little bit too sensitive and that we have lost part of, not the validity, but the weight of each situation individually that women have been in that have been really bad cases in the workplace have lost weight because of how sensitive we've become. It's like we need to take these really harsh situations very seriously, but because every little thing's being reported, then it, those big situations that need to be changed lose weight, and everybody's like, oh, well, you know, you're being too sensitive. Well, these actual situations over here on the right, these are like real situations.
Well, yeah, I mean, if everything's a crime, then nothing's a crime.
Exactly. I mean, exactly what I'm saying.
the idea of it. But
right.
I think a lot of it just has to do with civility. It just has to do with being raised to the way that you speak to people, whether right. whether you're a man speaking to a man or a man speaking to a woman. You know, it's like, well, gosh, do you really want total equality? Because if you've ever been in a men's locker room, I don't want to hear that stuff. You know what I mean? I don't want a man to think I'm so equal that he's going to tell me that. You know what I mean? I mean, that's kind of a offhand way of putting it. But that's why I say I think it has just more to do with civility and like having manners and
just having common respect for each
other. It's like you shouldn't talk like that to anybody. Yeah. And you know, that's just not civil discourse. That's not respectful to another human being. And so right. it's like, are we too focused on quote unquote, you know, the equality question, or just why can't we just treat each other civilly? Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, yeah. I think that we have become so complacent as far as the way that we speak to each other. So every generation, I think, accepts that more. But now that women are getting to the point where they're equal in positions, you know, with men, like you said, you know, they're not gonna just sit there and take it anymore because they did it for so many years. And I know that, you know, my first job was working on, you know, on an army base with all men. There was only two women on that whole base. And overall, most of the men were very respectful. But every once in a while, you'd have, you know, some jerk that would, you know, mouth off or whatever. But in general, they were always very respectful. But whenever that comment was made, I didn't make a big issue of it. I right. just, you know, thought, well, you know, he's an idiot.
Yeah, he's a jerk.
Yeah, he's a
but
jerk.
But not all men are jerks.
And not
know?
All
it's
men
like,
are
that
jerks.
That guy's a jerk.
That's, right. you know. But it's become so acceptable to, you know, to, it's just like I read something the other day. When did it become so acceptable to curse in public? You know, using any kind of language. When I grew up, you just didn't do that. You know, you didn't use the vulgarity that they use now without even thinking about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that every generation, you know, with every generation, I think we've become more complacent about everything.
Right.
It's not just the women, you know, women getting ahead or the interaction with women and men. It's just, you know, in everything, in every aspect of our lives.
Right.
It's just like we've lost like control.
Right.
Or civility, like yeah. you said, for each other.
Yeah. I mean, this might be a big can of worms, but with what you said, Grandma, it's just, I have noticed too, I definitely, biggest thing I hate is generalizations. I mean, especially with every single issue, when we just judge, whether it's a different profession, a different gender, sexual orientation even, just putting us like a generalization over all those people because of the actions of a few, mm-hmm. that's not right, period. And I think with what you said, the thing is that men have always talked like that to each other, at least in private. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can guess, right? And I'm not going to lie, women can be just as bad. And I know this because we're just a little bit smarter about hiding it. If I'm being honest. I mean, when I'm with my best friend and we're out.
But I think that's a generational thing, Hannah. I think that, I don't think women have, I think your generation is much more vulgar mm-hmm. than
yeah.
my generation.
Well, I think,
grandma's
I think that what I was going to get to is, you know, when I'm out with my best friend and, you know, she sees a cute guy, she might make a comment about his behind, just like a man would to his best friend. And the thing is like, okay, when you guys saw a handsome guy, I'm guessing you had that thought in your head, like, wow, he looks nice. But you never really said it. And also...
Yeah, no, we said he looks nice, but that was it.
Yeah, but the thing is...
Well,
is
look at that cute bat.
Exactly. But I think that we kind of took it the wrong way when it came to, okay, we want to be equals now. It went from, okay, let's be equals in that we are equally vulgar to each other and openly vulgar to each other. To, you know, especially with, like, obviously, I'm not tying, like, I just think that people are like, oh, well, just have respect for other people, speak respectfully, be civil, you know, and you know what, when we said equality, that didn't mean equally vulgar to each other, equally open in that way to each other, actually, it means the opposite, be more respectful to each other.
Well, and I think we've sort of covered these major, you know, topics of discussion in terms of, you know, if we're talking about equality in the workplace and women's more being more prevalent in the workplace today and what they can achieve and what they can succeed, then it, you know, it absolutely should not be a question that if a woman is doing the same job as a man, she should get the same pay as a man. She should get the same promotion. Right. She should get the same respect. Right. All of those things. That's different than the interpersonal dynamics between men and women in the workplace.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes all of this gets rolled into this feminism conversation. It's like, well, you know, we've created so much tension in the workplace now that it's not even, is it even really about equal pay? And mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It's just like,
it's not about the workplace. It's about the interpersonal
skills.
Yeah,
it's just about how people treat each other. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's like, you know, I don't know that equality necessarily, I don't know that a conversation about equality necessarily equates to a conversation about sexual harassment. Yeah. Because that can go either way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so it's like, and I think sometimes all of that gets wrapped into one, you know, one problem, and it dilutes each problem because of it. You know, you lose focus. And so, you know.
Yeah. I mean, with that kind of something that I've thought about, especially since, you know, going back to the idea that we started with, which was women now entering the workplace, is should we have different rights? I think you're right. I mean, I think it's a matter more of like interpersonal communication, and let's fix the communication in the workplace. And I mean, I think that, yeah, there's some inequalities when it comes to pay still, but I think it's gradually increasing. I mean, I think we've done pretty good in the last 50 years. I think people that started this movement are pretty happy with how far we've gotten.
You know, I think I want to circle back on something you said, though. You touched briefly on the, you know, the rights in the workplace, because you're a woman, you might deserve certain different rights. You sort of said that, right?
Yeah.
And like one of those would be like maternity leave, right? Obviously, that's different. And not so much anymore, though. I mean, men can get maternity leave because they you know, are involved in that, in the raising of the child, right? And so, and I don't necessarily disagree with that, because of the fact that I think that the role of the man as the father has become so diluted in our society today, and I think it's absolutely important.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people joke about men getting maternity leave, but I mean, if, you know, it's like, well, actually, you know, considering how diluted the role of the father has become in our society today, that's actually kind of important, right? So,
right.
But I want to push back a little bit on what you said about equal rights in terms of maternity leave, and that women should get some rights that men don't get. I think that that sort of reverses...
It was a question.
Okay, so the question. Okay, so on that question, I think that it's very difficult to play both sides. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to say we deserve an equal place in the workplace and then say, oh, but we get this special thing because we're women and we're the moms, so we get time off. I don't think you can make both arguments at the same time. And the reason I don't think that is because at the end of the day, it goes back to what I said at the beginning, which is everybody makes individual choices, right? The position that I'm in right now is totally different for me as a mom originally with young children than it would be for a man that's having the same position as I have had. Mm-hmm. But I have asked for no special concessions. I still try to be in the same places and do the job the same way, even though at times I feel like it's harder for me because... Right. Normally, I would be at home running the household and would have a lot of responsibilities that nobody else fills in for me, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas if your dad had my same position, it would be like his job, right? He would be like going to his job and coming back, and I would be doing all the things I normally would do. But I'm doing both now, you know? And so I made that choice. And so it's like, I don't think I should get special treatment.
So it's like accountability.
Yeah. I don't think I should get special treatment or get away with dropping the ball on certain things because, oh yeah, but I'm still the one that takes my kids to swim practice and make sure that they have their band instrument, da 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 da, while my husband's doing his regular job. Right. I don't think that's fair of me to do that. It's like, no, I made this choice. So I just have to figure out how to do it.
Right. It's kind of dealing with the consequences like you would with any other choice.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I don't necessarily agree that there should be this special carve out because you're the mom. Well, you're the mom that decided to get a job.
Yeah.
And so, you know, everybody has to make tough decisions sometimes. And if that decision means that you're going to have to live on less income because you've decided that you're going to take care of your kids instead of try to do both, well, that's a personal decision, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't think as a society we should just grant women rights because they're capable of being mothers.
Mm-hmm. So what I was thinking of during this whole conversation was that inherently men and women are different. So you can't, you know, you can't ultimately be equal, you know, even in the workforce.
Right, there's an extent is what you're saying. There's a line at some point that you're going to hit. There's a wall.
And like your mother said, if you as a woman make that choice, then you better be willing to do the extra work.
Yeah.
And there again, you have the man that has always been the, what, head of household, the breadwinner. And that's a position that he claims or should, you know, that he's the breadwinner. There again, you know, generations of, he's the breadwinner. That's what his job is.
Yeah.
Whereas a woman steps out of what her job is supposed to be. And she, you know, and for her to want extra considerations, then that's not fair to the man.
I think it's definitely transforming too, because we're seeing more and more men that are taking a household stance. Mm-hmm. A lot of men who are not working.
Yeah.
That are like, you know what?
Stay-at-home dads.
I'm okay with being a stay-at-home dad. I want to raise these kids. Mm-hmm. I want to take on what was the quote-unquote role for women. I want to do that. And you know what? My wife, she's the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, and I don't care.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of her, and you know what? I'm going to make her dinner when she gets home. And I think that is completely valid. So I think that just goes back to what we kind of said before, that it depends, right, on the choices of the family. But like you said, you know, you have to be accountable. And, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just hard, right? It's just hard as women. I mean, all three of us, I'm just starting out in the work environment, but, you know, Mom, you being having a really high up position, I mean, you've been working a really, well, definitely full-time, overtime job most of the time. Well, I've been around. Grandma, you had to work while she was growing up as a single mom, and you always had a job no matter what, even when you were married to Grandpa Sam. And part of that was a choice, part of it wasn't. And so, I mean, obviously, I admire you guys so much. And thank you guys so much for having this conversation. And, you know, since I did admire you, and since I have seen both of you guys work in the workplace and handle this balance and struggle with that. I mean, Mom, I've seen you so stressed out about, you know, I should be home with my kids. I feel guilty. I should be home. I shouldn't be at a meeting in Washington, D.C. And of course, me, little girl, we went over this yesterday, me calling you, leaving you a message saying, Mom, I miss you, and you feeling bad. And it's just, I think at the end of the day, it's one of those things, this isn't a solvable issue. This is a deal with it the best you can type of issue. Pivot. I think America is pretty good at pivot. That should be our real motto, is just pivot. So I guess I'm just going to end with, to kind of break up the tension, is a random question. And I'm going to leave it with, because I just had ice cream. What is your favorite ice cream ever? Whether it's out of the bucket or at your favorite hometown restaurant?
Well, by far, I think that I should get paid a lot of money, because this is going to be an endorsement. But, of course, I will have said it, so then I won't get the money. But anyway, Bluebell is by far the best ice cream that
yes,
exists.
Yes, we can all agree.
And favorite flavor, even though I'm in denial, because I want my favorite flavor to be butter pecan, but it's actually cookies and cream.
Oh my gosh, you just came out with that. I've never heard you say that before.
I know, it's because I was like a closet cookies and cream person.
Oh my gosh, congratulations.
Yeah, I'm owning up to it now. I'm like, just face it, you love
you
this
did
ice
it publicly.
Cream. Yeah.
Congratulations.
I've committed to it.
And you? You're probably pistachio, aren't you?
Yep.
Don't come out.
I don't
out.
Care. I don't care what brand. I don't care what brand.
What would you order at like Mel's or like at a little restaurant?
What would that be? Didn't have pistachio?
Yeah.
Probably vanilla.
Just vanilla?
Just vanilla.
Yeah. Well, I just had a French vanilla Coke because it's my favorite at our little diner. And I love chocolate chip ice, chocolate mint chocolate chip, because it's always been my dad and I's thing.
I know.
From Bluebell. But the truth is, I love chocolate ice cream. I just love it. I mean, even if I go to Freddy's, like, I just want the fudge ice cream. I don't want anything fancy. I just want chocolate. And so that would be my stance on that. And to close out, if you guys want to...
Well, wait a minute. My favorite when I was growing up was black walnut.
Really? Black walnut?
Yes, but you can't find it nowadays.
Which they discontinued.
You can't, yeah, they've discontinued.
Grandma G was the only person on the planet that liked black walnut.
She was the only one buying it.
Yes.
Dang. Well, I always like cookie dough, but I would eat too much of the chunks, because I'd just pick out the chunks and then I get a stomachache. So we've decided to quit the cookie dough game. So you guys get 20 seconds to promote any message, policy, action, product, or company they would like. Even if they want to say they just like Doritos, anybody can say that. So,
well, I think I've already given enough endorsements for the day. So,
so your endorsement is
Bluebell ice cream. Yeah.
Frito-Lay's potato chips.
Frito-Lay's potato chips. We
My
know that you eat a lot of.
That's My such a boomer favorite. Thing to say.
I know.
Well, I guess closing out with generational differences, isn't it? Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Please follow the podcast. We will be putting in an installment every other week. So tune in for more intergenerational talks about hot topics. And yeah, I hope you guys learn from us. And if you'd like to, you know, follow us and hear more. And hopefully you guys learned a lot. Thank you.